With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen of Ohio, the Blue Jackets have done it again. Woo! Another overtime victory. Calvert, the culprit. In OT, and they come back to Nationwide Arena. You want to talk, Kenny, about what an environment it is going to be in Ohio. This puck-crazed state that is the Buckeye State. Tomorrow, national television. Yeah, how much, Capitals, is your division winning carrying you now as you're down 2-0? Kenny, what a day to be alive here in Northeast Ohio and beyond.
Yeah. Yeah. Audio courtesy NBC Sports, yeah! 2-0 Blue Jackets!
You know, it's good, when you get in the playoffs...
We're big fans here!
You gotta understand the difference between playoffs and regular season. In the playoffs, you gotta defend, you gotta get out in transition, your bench has got to come alive, and that's exactly what happened yesterday for the Blue Jackets again. Let's talk about
huge.
What a great... Who's their coach, Tortorella?
Been around since Rick Nash, yeah. Myself. I don't know about you.
Well, I date back to when they acquired Bobrovsky.
Both hardcore fans over here. So we got basically wall-to-wall coverage of the Blue Jackets here.
We've got Rimmer / Reimer coming on later. Is that
all
true?
Of them?
All of them.
All of them.
Both of them.
McGillicuddy? What's
yes.
his name?
All of them.
He'll be here, yep.
Grapes, cherries coming on. The whole shebang, man.
And also the Cavs lost yesterday, game one, 98-80.
Well, we're not a real big basketball town. So anyway... What I loved is how they came from behind and then ended up winning that game against the Capitals.
Fortitude.
I tell you what,
fortitude.
For whatever reason, Caps fans, you want to talk about some of the most, I would say, thin-skinned fans out there. Those are the Caps fans. Now, of course, they've had to deal with a whole lot of playoff heartbreak there.
But how good is Bobrovsky, man?
I mean,
between the pipes, who would you rather
three
have?
Three out of those four goals the Capitals scored were off of power plays.
You want to make sure you get the best between the pipes, and that's what you have between the pipes is Bobrovsky there. When you got Bob between the pipes, it's just a good time. So anyway, yeah.
Also, the Cavs lost 98-80.
They did, huh?
So game two will be on Wednesday. Anyway... When I was watching the Blue Jackets yesterday.
Well, take your calls on the CBJ right now. 216-578-0092. What'd you see from the Blue Jackets? Do you think this team has what it takes to win it all? Because now I think they have flipped the switch, Kenny.
This gang, the Blue Jackets flipped the switch?
I think they have.
Oh, did they?
Ladies and gentlemen, you don't think you're coming in a Nationwide Arena down 2-0 after two heartbreaking losses and thinking you are going to have a chance?
Wake up the echoes of Rocket Richard! Wake up the memories of Eddie Shore! Good, nope. Strong hockey!
No better sweater than what the Blue Jackets have.
Oh, nobody touches them!
Is it the howitzer or the cannon? What do they got?
It is a cannon! We are marching on Atlanta! It's a shame there's no more Thrashers, or this could actually work out in that fashion! We are flipping the switch on the Blue Jackets today.
Cam Atkinson. It's his world. We're just living in it.
All right, fine. You ready to do it?
Not really, but I suppose we have no other choice.
What the hell is with all this in the hockey? I went, I know what he's doing. I know what he's getting at.
Oh, what? You want us talking about Victor Oladipo scoring again and again and again?
I think he just scored
again. 32.
And Ty Lue says they're doing a great job on him, so. That's what you have to look forward to.
Like, I can't blame it all on Ty Lue, can I?
We'll try.
I think a lot of people want to blame it all on Ty Lue. Like, I can't blame it all on him.
No. I mean, you know, when I think about what do you put on a coach? I guess if they're not ready to play, you're going to put that on the coach.
Well, you see, they didn't look like they were ready.
They didn't look like they were ready to play. I have seen in past playoffs, you know, like the Golden State Warriors will come out and they'll look. Like they're going through the motions to start out because, you know, the playoffs are a 4-month journey.
Yeah,
like if you thought the regular season was long,
we're
the playoffs
pacing
are
ourselves,
long.
Yeah.
But it was disconcerting to see how they started out because the big rap on the Cavs all year is, well, defensively, they don't really get back in transition. Their guards get abused in the half court. And then offensively, you know, we rely on threes. We were still one of the better three-point shooting teams in the NBA, but yeah, that's when Kyle Korver's in there. But when Kyle Korver plays 4 minutes, and you know, Jason Lloyd wrote about in The Athletic today that privately some of the Cavs looked at him during the 4 minutes, some of the assistant coaches, and they said he is looking hobbled. He is not looking ready to go. So they yanked him. He didn't play the rest of the game. So there's your answer for that. That actually makes sense. But you still took an insane amount of three-pointers, 8 of 34. If I were the Pacers, I would say, hey, if the Cavs take 34 threes and Kyle Korver only plays 4 minutes, we're probably in good shape to at least compete. Well, they didn't just compete, Kenny. That was almost a wire-to-wire win.
I want to know whether or not I should be overreacting today, if I'm overreacting today or this is a real reaction. Because there, I tell you what, you lose a game like that, there are real tentacles to that, buddy boy. And I know it's the first game of a long series, and I would still take them to win that series.
Mm-hmm.
But man, there's a lot of strong stuff out there. I have thanked you because Chris Sheridan put it out Wednesday could be LeBron's final game. Oh, we're talking sweep. That's what we're talking. Now,
well, that's
now,
a
now
they're
it's
not
a
getting
sweep.
Swept. They're now not getting
swept. Now
it's a
sweep at the hands of Indiana.
That's
okay.
Absurd. Look, the only way that could happen is if Victor Oladipo outplays LeBron throughout the entire course of the series.
That,
I don't see that going on.
You say that, and I agree with you. But I think that there's going to be a lot of people today who say some things that are not going to be too very kind and are going to be strong reactions.
They deserve it.
And with the way they played yesterday, yes, they absolutely deserve it because I thought that that was one of the worst. It's one thing to lose. It's another thing to look like you don't even want to be there. And you are starting to see some things. Now, stop me. Go ahead and stop me because I'm going to start getting diarrhea here and start going crazy about it.
Go ahead.
Because this is exactly every single worst fear that came to fruition yesterday. And I mean every single worst fear. They didn't look ready to play. They didn't look like they wanted to play. They looked like they were ready to check out. And then somehow at the end of the third quarter, they started scribbling something together and putting together a little comeback. And then eventually it all went to hell there at the very, very end. So when I look at this team, you have put yourself in the situation for a perfect storm. That guys don't want to be there, that guys who have been there and who have won a championship are unmotivated to do so and can't wait till the season ends. The young guys that you've brought in have no idea how to play with LeBron in a crunch time. I don't know. I just look at this and I see I need to find leadership, and I'm not going to find leadership from anybody but LeBron in this scenario. And I have to ask LeBron to put everything on his shoulders and be able to lead the team. Jeff Green is still building a wall with the brick-by-brick approach that he has taken throughout the first game of this series.
Yeah, he's the quintessential, hey, there's a reason you're open guy.
It can't be, and I know it's the first game. Can I put Jeff Green in there as the starter? I think I have to go with Tristan Thompson and Larry Nance.
Well, Tristan Thompson, who didn't play?
I don't know what I have. What do you want me to do? What am I supposed to do? Do I just activate Kendrick Perkins to go in there and fight people?
Well, no, he's not active for the round, so
I
think that's an option.
I have Victor Oladipo saying that it was motivation for him. What Dan Gilbert said was motivation. He's scoring 32. I got no other choice. What else am I supposed to do all of a sudden? So I'm trying to bring myself back down. I need you to talk me down everything's going to be.
Obviously, I think they're going to win the series, and I wouldn't be shocked to see them win the next four. However, some things need to change, and they need to change now. And I know there's a lot of hand-wringing about whether or not they need to change the starting lineup. I don't think you can go game to game on that right now in the first round, because then what you're doing is you're cutting out any confidence this team might have had going into the playoffs. And they did play well down the stretch, you know, with the exception of obviously they didn't really care about the last game. I don't think you can mess with this team's temperament and emotions by just putting up the white flag after one game and changing the starting lineup. I think you still have to rely. Jeff Green, look, if you're relying on Jeff Green, you're in trouble to begin with. I would have said that before the year started. But he's still a formidable player. It's not like he's a total waste. He played poorly yesterday, obviously. But if we're going to do this every game, you guys were ready to give up on J.R. Smith 2 months ago. I remember doing shows. You were on vacation with Nick Wilson. And Nick and all the fans were saying we're done with him. Well, guess what? You're going to need J.R. Smith if you think you're going to have a shot to advance in these playoffs at all.
It's just this start. I got Rodney Hood and George Hill and Jeff Green and Kevin Love. Man, I shouldn't have said Tristan Thompson. I meant Larry Nance and Kevin Love.
Yeah,
Sorry, I shouldn't have said Tristan Thompson. But I mean, it's going to have to be that
Somebody.
Way. I don't know. I mean, good God.
Wasn't it fitting too, Kenny? A lot of the problems this season were defensively and were communication. And how fitting was it that George Hill gets smacked, and I mean smacked, with a screen? I don't know if it was illegal or not, but he got smacked with a screen, was never the same after the game, and they pretty much held him out of the game after he tried to gut it out, and he was not the same player. So you have guys getting injured because your defensive communications are so horrid. Think about that when you want to boil down what went down in yesterday's game and how they end up scoring 15 in the fourth quarter, by the way.
I had guests and calls last night that just, they wanted to know where LeBron was going. I had Dave Schilling on, who is from The Ringer, and he was just talking about where LeBron's going to go. Not about the finals, not about making the finals or anything like that. It was what LeBron's going to do. Is he going to end up in L.A.? Will he stay in Cleveland? Will he leave for basketball reasons? That was already put out there. And one game into the postseason. One. So, yeah, I think to a degree there's some overreaction there. It's the first game of a seven-game series. LeBron tried to add something there and say that he was going to be even-keeled with it and stay the course. But this is concerning. You have guys there that either don't know how to play. I don't know if they're going to be motivation. It just, honestly, I hate saying, well, one team wanted it more than the other. Did they seem motivated to you for two and a half quarters? And see, there was a
point. Until Larry Nance Jr. came in.
Finally, there was a point where they started to provide some heat. But it did seem through most of it going, man, they're just checked out. They're just going to wait till Wednesday. That's what it is. They're just going to wait till Wednesday.
You know what it seemed to me? It seemed like some of these guys who had not had this playoff experience, and we had talked about this. This was one of the few – we didn't have a ton of question marks for the Cavs to win this series, but one of them was going to be how were guys like Clarkson, how were guys like Nance, how the guys like these new players that they were able to obtain, Rodney Hood, who had limited playoff experience, what were they going to do when the lights shined a little brighter? And it almost looked to me like they were just waiting for LeBron to be LeBron, but LeBron didn't take a shot for the first 10 minutes. And so he was waiting for them to step up. And to me, that might be where there's some coaching issues, because that's got to be ironed out before the game. I think there needs to be a plan of attack. We all can't be waiting on each other. We all can't say, all right, no, you get us going, LeBron. No, guys, I want you to experience the playoffs and get those jitters out. No, LeBron, you don't understand. You're the best player on the planet. I'm going to need you to at least be the best player on the floor today. LeBron, hold on. It's a long march. We've got 3 months to worry about that. Get acclimated. That, to me, has got to be ironed out before the game, and there needs to be more of a, to me, a plan that makes sense. I saw a bunch of guys looking like they were panicking 6 minutes into the game.
Because you have guys here. Now, again, George Hill, I know, is a veteran. Rodney Hood has been in the postseason before. Jeff Green's a veteran. I understand that. And obviously, Kevin's played with him for a long time now. But you have guys there who it's still a different mix. It's still a different flavor. And to have that type of opening there, that was just god-awful. And again, that's why I said, and I misspoke earlier, I think already, hey, I don't know if I want to blame everything on Jeff Green here. I don't think I want to do that, but my God, I feel like it has to almost be Larry Nance and Kevin Love on the starting five. Am I wrong? If I'm wrong, go ahead and tell me I'm wrong. I know you don't want to do it so quickly.
Is it an overreaction, though? Would that be an overreaction by Ty Lue?
Is it an overreaction or is it a true correction?
Yeah, that starting lineup, to be fair to you, the starting lineup they played yesterday, how many games had they played together all year? Was that it? Was
that the first one? I think that might have been the one.
To be fair to you,
I'd have to go back and look, but I think that this could be. And so if we're talking about overreaction or silly things to do for the postseason, hey, you know, you could say that I'm silly for bringing in Larry Nance, and I'm willing to admit that if that's the truth. But maybe starting this starting five right here, maybe that wasn't the best idea ever.
Well, you would have.
Just
I'll tell you,
point that out.
Larry Nance, if you start the game, now you shouldn't need this, but if you start Larry Nance Jr., you're going to get activity from the bell, which you would think you would be getting anywhere. From opening tip, you would get activity.
Looks like you needed some heat there at the very beginning, didn't you?
You did.
You know, it's the postseason. I would like to take LeBron and the Cavaliers and a team that's been to the finals 3 straight years and kind of deliver the punch in the first opening couple of minutes of the basketball game. That would have been a nice at home because everything, this whole thing right now, feels like it's forced.
Not the reaction. There's real heat with the reaction, but boy, we're going to be ready for the postseason. We're going to be ready to do it. Everything down to their mentality, to this lineup, to Ty Lue, to this slogan of whatever it takes on the shirts and the people's reaction to that. It all feels fraudulent.
All right, let's do this. When we come back, I want to hear your reaction. Fans are lining up to get
down.
On board.
Talk me down.
And is this overreaction day? I mean, do you think everything's going to be okay in Wine and Gold Land? 216-578-0092. We'll get to that. Your chance to win. Jason Aldean.
Yes.
7:39.
Aldean.
Have fun with that.
Alderaan. Alderaan. Jason Alderaan.
Also, we'll have Dan Dokich at 9 o'clock. Maybe you're not going to want to hear from the enemy, but Dan was very confident coming into this series. He's a sports talk show host nationally, basketball analyst, and obviously has a radio show in Indy. We're going to get to him. All that and more coming up, plus Lima Likes in 20 minutes right here on Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.